Let's do the 12 undeniable truths from a criminal defense attorney. Okay. The first of the 12 undeniable truths, and I've seen this always comes true. Be humble. All right. There are two types of people in the world, those that are humble and those that are about to be. Think about it. Everybody's been humbled. No matter how great everyone thinks you are, no matter how great you think you may have been doing, think about it. Everyone has been humbled. Think of all the politicians that thought they couldn't lose or got in trouble. They were invincible. Sports figures. How about those guys, you know, that Harvey guy, that movie producer guy. I won't mention his name because they'll get us demonetized. But think about him. Thought he was beyond touchable. It's best to be humble. Be nice to people, because when the crap does hit the fan, they're going to remember whether you were nice to them or whether you were that jerk. We've all been there. We've all experienced it. Okay. I think I've told this story before a couple of times. I remember coming home, being like, I just won my trial today. Who's the best trial lawyer you ever saw? You know, and my kids got it. They played along. Like, we're looking at him, Dad. We're looking at him. And then my wife would look at me and say, yeah, that's great. And the garbage needs to be taken out because the trash man's coming tomorrow. Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks. So be humble, because you know what? The trash still needs to be taken out. Another example I had. Swear to God, this was maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Walk a client for second time on a homicide case. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Like, remember that scene from The Right Stuff? The guy's driving down the road. They're driving to Edwards Air Force Base. Can't remember which one it was. And his wife's angry at him. She's like, come on. Who's the best fighter pilot you ever saw? Who's the best? He's like, you're looking at him. That was my joke. Who's the best trial lawyer you ever saw? So I'm feeling pretty good about myself, right? Just do this. And then I go across the street to a new client. It was a jail advisement. You know, family had hired me. Hadn't really had time to talk with the guy because I've been in trial, but hey, trial's over. So I'm here. Let's see if we can get you out of custody. Remember, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And I make my argument to the judge. I thought it wasn't too bad, but you know, facts being what they are, the judge says, no, I'm not going to reduce this bond. Your client's a danger to the community and a flight risk, and I find as such. And I was like, oh, that's unfortunate, man. Sorry, you're going to have to stay here or post the bond. The amount's currently set. He looks at me and he's like, what kind of lawyer are you? You couldn't even get a bond reduced. And I'm like, you're right. I'm a terrible lawyer. I'm sorry. So even when you got those high moments, yeah, enjoy them, but you got to be humble and just be, you know, moving on in. Next undeniable truth. No one's perfect. Okay. We all make mistakes. You got to know your weaknesses, seek self-improvement, focus on your strengths. Oh yeah. And hire people to do what you are not very good at doing. Okay. No one's perfect. You can't do it all. There's not enough hours in the day. You just have to hire people that are good doing other things you can't. Otherwise, you're going to kill yourself. Okay. And just remember, we're all flawed human beings. All right. Just because you're not good at something, yeah, doesn't mean you give up at it first time. You can practice it. But at some point, maybe you're just, it's not what you're cut out to be. So you got to do that. Number three, we're all flawed. So don't be too judgmental. We are all hypocrites. It's just a matter of degree. Okay. How many times have we all said, that is the worst case. I can't believe that happened. Oh, they need to go to prison. They should die. Blah, blah, you name it. And then it happens to your friend or family member and you. And suddenly it's like, but I'm a person. Sure, I've made a mistake, but I'm not, that one day doesn't define me. And, you know, normally it should not. Sometimes that one day can define you forever. But the reality of it is, listen, we've all made mistakes. We're all flawed. Don't be too judgmental on everybody. because bottom line is it can happen to you. Number four, it's always about the money. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. And when they say it's not about the money, then you know it really is all about the money. Okay? Just the way it is. If they're suing you, it's about the money. Johnny Depp. If it wasn't about the money, now he may say, oh, it's not about the money, I'm not going to take it, right? But at the end of the day, he sued for $50 million. He gets what, the 8.35 at the end. It's always about the money, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you may act like it isn't now, no big deal, but it was at some point. You know, we like people to like and subscribe. Why is that? Well, because we'd like to make this worth my while. I enjoy doing it, but I'd also like to maybe, you know, not spend, I could spend my days doing this, not my one night a week or, you know, throughout the day, doing it full time. And how do we do that? Well, Scott is not that old. He still needs to make money. All right. So just remember that. It's always about the money. Just like I told you tonight, and I tell you straight up, I don't do pro bono work. Don't do it. I'm at the point in my life where I don't even represent friends free anymore. Just the way it is. Because if I do it for free or pro bono, I'll do it when I get around to it. But they, a friend, still wants you to do it as if you're client number one, even though you're not getting paid. Right? We run a business in our law practice. It is a business. And if somebody doesn't want to worry about making money, then you need to go work in the government to make money. But guess what? Even government attorneys have to try to bring in money. Not maybe as public defenders, but if you work for an agency, you're trying to come up with ways to take other people's things and money and tax them to make money to justify your existence. It's always about the money. Remember this. Most people don't have troubles. They have inconveniences. Okay. Think about that. Everybody is like, oh, you're not going to believe what happened. This is terrible. Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. If you think about it, yes, I understand things happen. And I remember being young and broke and the car breaks down and you don't have the money to do it. But normally, you find a way, you figure it out. If you got to go hustle to make that money, you do it, what you have to do to get it done. Okay. But at the end of the day, that's an inconvenience. Okay. You're not, you know, if you're going to prison or somebody's died, those are real troubles. Okay. Going back to when I was married, my ex-spouse would be like, the lawn guy's coming tomorrow. Oh, okay. That's great. We need to pick up the dog poop. Didn't the dog poop guy come to pick up the dog poop? Right. And it would be the biggest argument ever. It's like, well, you need to go pick up the dog poop because the lawn guy doesn't like to come. Even though the dog poop guy came the other day, there may be poop out there and he doesn't like it when he gets on his tractor. Okay. Now I could have argued about like, fine, I'll go pick up the dog poop because the guy didn't like it. And he wouldn't mow the lawn if there was dog poop back there. Inconvenience. Okay. But that the guy acted like it was the biggest trouble in the world to clean a little dog poop off of his wheel. Like, really? You're mowing lawns with people with dogs. Maybe you should take it out. But take a deep breath. Namaste. Just remember inconveniences. Okay. And when you have real trouble, like when someone's really ill, maybe going to prison, those are real problems. So take time to appreciate what you have. Bottom line. Next, number seven, make a decision. Indecisiveness is the worst thing in the world. And every now and then I'm like, yeah, let me think about it. But I usually kind of already know what I'm going to do, but I'm just thinking about it. Maybe I'll change my mind, talk myself out of it. But you need to make a decision in life. Because if you don't make a decision, guess what? Then people will make decisions for you and you're probably not going to like it. Okay. you know, there, what's that saying? If you don't have a place at the table, that means you're being served for dinner. Bottom line, and the way you do that is you make your decisions. You have to go for it. You have to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go forward. It may be a little risky, but I'm going to make a decision. And guess what? Indecision, indecisiveness is a decision. It's a decision for people to make decisions for you. Okay. And in the criminal context, where does that come into? At a certain point, a client has a situation where they need to decide, are they going to go to trial or are they going to take a plea bargain? And the client's always like, well, I don't want to plead guilty because then I says I'm guilty because I don't think I'm guilty. But the alternative is I have to go to trial and I don't want to go to trial because that could be bad for me. Yep. Indecision. Well, guess what? That DA is going to revoke that offer and we're coming up on trial. So you need to make a decision or one will be made for you, which is we're going to trial. Okay. Make a decision or people will make it for you. Next, a job expands to the amount of time given. Give deadlines because, and remember, things always take longer than you think they will. Why do we have deadlines in the legal system? Because if we didn't have to have a deadline, no decisions would ever get made. I would have clients would be absolutely fine with no decisions being made on their case. But you have to do that. Whether it's a work environment, you know how it is. You have to have the house clean before this particular time, before you leave. You got to get this brief done. Anything along those lines. We've all done it. If you know you have a certain amount of time, you're going to stretch it out. But always remember, okay, things always take longer than they think than you think they will. I'm the eternal optimist. I always think, oh, I got a motion. I got a brief to do. It'll take no time at all. I'll knock this out in one day. And it turns out this is a 3 or 4 day task. All right. So at least I had deadlines. And I always set deadlines before the deadlines. Okay, this is my deadline. I want that deadline docketed 7 days before and 14 days before because I know it's coming and it's going to help me at least get started. You have to do that. Next, number 9, you would be surprised how far the words, I am sorry, goes. And you would think, oh, Scott, that's, but listen, and I am generally of the mindset that you don't apologize for things that you didn't do wrong. Okay. I make it a general pattern. If we go to trial and we lose or you get the sentence you don't necessarily want, you don't tell it, well, sorry, man, that sucks. Because as soon as you start saying you're sorry, it means that you've maybe done something wrong. But the reality of it is, usually if it maybe requires a sorry, it may require a I'm sorry. And that can go a long way. I have been in sentencings where the family has shown up at every court proceeding, say for a homicide case, because their child was killed. And they show up. They're there every day. And, you know, whether it's a plea or a trial, a guilty plea. And the family just wants to know what happened, why you did it, etc. And the defendant in some courtrooms goes, the defense goes first. The defendant always gets the last word. But sometimes if that defendant can say, I'm sorry, that I have seen make more people come to the point where they literally forgive somebody in a courtroom for killing their child. Okay. And it's amazing to see that because it's happened more than just one time. And it was just the simple words, I'm sorry. And so it's just, you know, something to go by. You know, I mean, I always say use please and thank you. Could you please do this? Thank you for doing that. Makes a huge difference versus barking orders. Do this, do this. Hey, can we please do this? You think we can get this done? It makes a big difference. Like please and thank yous. And so does the words, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm have to have you start over. I completely did it. Oh, that's okay. But at least you said you're sorry. There's some people that don't ever say that word. And I get it. but sometimes it goes. Next one in life, trust your lawyer. Okay. So many people out there, particularly in the age of the internet, they don't trust their lawyer. It's kind of like they don't trust their doctors anymore because they read about it on WebMD and they've read all about it and they know everything they need to know. It's that simple. You hired the lawyer. You're paying them $400, $600 an hour to work on your case, to review it, to analyze it, to come to the position where they can give you advice on how to proceed. And yes, ultimately the decision is the client's decision, but the attorney is not going to give you bad advice. I hope not. Most attorneys I know take their responsibility very, very seriously, just like doctors do. There's always going to be the nutball in the bunch, but let's face it, most of the attorneys, doctors, CPAs take their jobs very seriously. They do not want to give bad advice. I've said this before. When I give advice to my clients, it's literally like I'm giving advice to my children. Why would I intentionally give you bad advice? And it isn't until later in life when you have your children, usually when they go off to college, in my experience, that they realize that, hey, dad was trying to give me some good advice. And I tell them, well, did you think I was going to give you bad advice so that you completely screw up your life and get to the point where you're miserable and you blame it all? Why would I intentionally do that? I don't think most parents are going to do that, nor do I think a lawyer will as well. Next, if it's important to you, you'll find a way to make it happen. If it's not, you'll find an excuse. And the reason why I bring this up is I see it mostly in clients that have drug and alcohol issues. And I understand drug and alcohol can be a very powerful thing. But like most things in life, if it's important to you, you'll find a way to make it happen. If you don't care about it, you're going to blow it off, right? Scott, you need to get up and run 3 miles before you head out to work in the morning. Yeah, not exactly high on my importance scale these days. I'm trying, I'm working on it. But if it was really important to me, I'd figure out a way to make it happen. Like I said, drugs and alcohol can be a terrible thing. I'm not trying to say it's just that simple. But I've seen people where they hit their bottoms and all of a sudden being sober means something to them and it becomes important to stay clean and sober. So if it's not important to you, you'll find an excuse. Okay. Just like sometimes like, oh, it's cold outside. And then the lovely Miss Kristen says, yeah, but the treadmill's in the basement. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, my heel today. Oh, I'll come up with all kinds of excuses. Same thing in life, ladies and gentlemen. If it's important to you, you'll find a way. And finally, the number 12 of the 12 undeniable truths, and not in any particular order, but just numbered. All relationships are based upon respect. Okay. Now, obviously, when you get married, you know, it's respect, friends, employers, employees, it's a respect situation, or it should be, right? You should have mutual respect for anybody. But I remember in my early days as an attorney, I was doing lots of court-appointed work. So if there's a conflict with the public defender, I would get the clients that even the public defenders didn't want, and the public defenders will take anybody. And I would get calls from the court and say, hey, Scott, you know, we got this difficult client. Would you take this case? And I'm like, sure, judge, no problem. I got this. And I go talk with the client and, you know, I show up there and hello, Mr. So-and-so, how do you, pleasure to meet you, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, you know, tell me about your case. What do you think of the issues? What do you think's going on, et cetera? And at one point, you know, this guy had gone through like four attorneys. And I said, well, why is it that you can get along with everybody? I said, you know, people are saying, oh, don't take this guy. He's a complete jerk. He's going to be an ass to you. How can you get along? You know, why are we having get along just fine? And the client said, you treated me with respect. Okay. And this guy, you know, he grew up bad situation, poverty, broken home. And basically, for lack of it, he was always treated like crap by a lot of people. And when he got in trouble, the attorneys would come and they would look at him and they look at his history and say, you're a piece of crap. You're going to get this. They're going to. And I said, well, I just came in. I referred you by your last name. I called you, sir. It's not a big deal. It's kind of a habit for me. I was in the military. Hello, sir. How are you? You know, unless you correct me, otherwise I'll be polite to you. And he goes, of all the attorneys I ever talked to, he goes, you're the first one that ever called me that. And it meant something to him. And he says, I treated him with respect. And I always thought that I had, you know, other clients as well. And it never really made a difference. But when the case got resolved, and then the client took the, you know, disposition that was probably the best that was going to be able to be worked out. The judge asked me, like, how were you able to get along with him? I said, Judge, I treated him with respect. And the judge, I remember, he goes, yeah, I should probably do that sometimes too. I think I forget it. And sometimes I think we all forget it. But at the end of the day, you know, we can have civil conversations about subjects, even on subjects in which we agree to disagree upon. But if you do it respectfully, you can still be friends. So I think that's probably one of the being humble. There's two types of people in the world, those that are humble and those that are about to be, and treat everybody with respect. If you can do that, you can get along with just about everybody. So that guy made an impact on me. And it was just because I treated him nicely. Everybody else told him, this is what you're going to do. I asked him, what would you like to do? It's your case. And everybody always said, well, this is what you're going to have to do. And you're going to lose this and you're going to lose that. And he had to come to the conclusion that these others were right, but they didn't show him any respect, whether they were too busy for him, whether, you know, they just didn't like his history. They didn't like him. He could be rude and abrupt, but I just, hey, let's try it. Try off being respectful. If it doesn't work out, we can always go the other extreme, but we're working for the same goal, which is, you know, what's the client's best interest. I want to thank everybody. Thanks for joining us. Like, subscribe. If you have not, share with a friend. Watch all of our previous videos that are up on YouTube as well as our podcasts. You can do that. Just simply go to your favorite podcasting app, Crime Talk with Scott Reich. Boom, download 4, going on 5 years of content there. So, all right. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.